Okay, so we're in the book of Luke, the kingdom, the gospel of Luke. And I think this is the last week we're going to be talking about going through Luke. I love Luke. Just a little bit of background about Luke. Luke is the largest or the longest book in the New Testament. It's got 41 unique passages that aren't found anywhere else in the Bible. Some of the other gospels are kind of repeated stories. Luke has got 41 unique pieces. Luke, of course, he was not a Jew. I'm trying to find out whether he's Greek or not. So Johnny, you're an SBS scholar. Was the man Greek? He was Greek? Because the way he thought, the way he wrote, I'm glad you said that because I said in the first sermon with confidence that he was Greek. He was a very bright man. He was a physician and had a keen intellect. And first of all, when I used to read Luke, it's like, oh, yeah, he wasn't there with Jesus. He never met Jesus face to face. But he met, Mark and James, the brother of Jesus. But the beauty of Luke was he said, okay, those other gospels, you know, he wanted to know from a whole myriad of people. So he went and did like a CSI investigation. And when he asked probably 30, 40, 50 different people who were there, who were eyewitnesses, and he examined them, he talked to them and got the stories. So in a court of law, one witness has a lot of weight. But if you have 30 or 40 or 50 people saying the same thing, it's undoubtedly the truth. So that's what he did. So it's like, wow. And the way he writes is very, again, intellectual, very linear, just like in the Greek style. And the Greeks were really into intellect, really into working things out in the mind. So along comes Luke. He's already well-trained in probably many different disciplines, being a physician himself. And he's just like persuaded beyond measure that this is the truth. He pens this and then pens Acts. And then he hangs out with Paul and becomes best mates with Paul. And they go and he hangs out with Paul. It sounds like the rest of Paul's life anyway, and was with Paul on many of the missionary journeys. When everyone else, some other people bolted and bailed from Paul, he stayed. And Paul calls him, oh, my beloved physician, stay with me and hang out with him. So interesting story. Today, okay, we're talking about Luke chapter 11. And there's many different passages in Luke chapter 11, quite fascinating, Jesus and Beelzebub, the six woes. But one thing that strikes me, the beauty of this to me, is prayer. So Lord, talking about prayer. And Jesus' disciples came to him and said, hey, you know, teach us how to pray. And this is, we've got Lord God incarnate talking about, this is how I want to, you know, the Father wants you to pray to him. So it's beauty. It's beautiful. So prayer. We talk about a lot in church, and rightly so, because it's the way we communicate with God. It's actually one of the greatest privileges we have is prayer. It's not like a last ditch. And to some of us, it's a last ditch thing. You know, something's happening. Pray. Like I was just counseling. We have some friends who their house is in foreclosure, and they're not Christians, and they're like, Pray for us. And it's like, yeah, you guys didn't pay your mortgage for 2 years. It's like the banks are taking, of course they're going to do it. It's like, you silly guys, what are you thinking of? And they're explaining, oh, please pray that we get our house back. It's like, okay. So a lot of people think it's kind of like a Santa Claus. That, you know, you come to him when you're in, you know, and you want, you know, stuff. Like he's this benevolent being up there somewhere that gives you stuff. If you say the right thing, he'll give you the stuff. A lot of people have that attitude about prayer. Obviously, that's not, you know, so I said to our friends, look, we'll pray that the Lord gives you wisdom and comfort, you know, as you're going through this time. But really, you know, it's not just a ship's going down, grab the life vest. It's relationship. And prayer is relationship. Prayer is communication. Any relationship that's between nations, between husband and wife, it's all going to crash if there's not healthy communication. Communication is like oxygen to a flame. You know, you need it. Anything is going to crash if you don't have that communication. Any relationship is going to disintegrate. Prayer is simply talking to God. the Bible is predominantly the way God speaks to us. 99.9% of the time, God speaks to us through the Bible. There's also angelic visitations and stuff like that. I've yet to have one. I haven't had an audible word from the Lord yet. I'd love to. Anyone here heard the audible voice of the Lord? We had a couple in the first sermon. Oh, I got a couple here. How do I not doubt that? But predominantly, it's the Word of God. God talks to us through the Bible. We talk to God through prayer. Bible to us, prayer to the Lord. And that's a great relationship, and it worked well. It's a two-way communication. God answers all prayer. Now, I go out on a limb and say that. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes that is an answer. Sometimes it's no. No, I don't want that answer. I want a yes. Sometimes yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait a little bit later. And what we do if we get a no and we get a later from the Lord, then we persist and we persist in prayer and we push in. And sometimes the Lord will explain to us, no, that's not for you. That's not for you to carry. That's not, you know. It's like sometimes you're like, why, God? Why? It's like, you know, I liken it to we've got the brains, like in comparison to God, we're like a beetle. And God's like this, like, you know, a beetle trying to work out the mechanics and the electronics of a space shuttle or even more. There's that huge disparity of intelligence. You know, beetle just bumbles along and thinking we're really, really intelligent. And whoever, you know, designing the space shuttle's looking down a beetle going, yeah, okay. Sorry, God, it's even bigger than that. God's so incredibly intelligent, so incredibly smart and powerful. And sometimes we just need to trust that intelligence. That maybe, no, that's not the right time. That's maybe not the right time for us. So, Lord, and I just beg you, Lord, if it's no, let it be no. I don't want to push doors that shouldn't be opened. I don't want to receive stuff that I shouldn't be receiving because I trust my Father. And that comes in relationship. It comes our relationship. So there's two things primarily that happens, the purpose of prayer. Two things. One, we pray because we want to move the hand of God. We want to see the hand of God move in our heart. And two, the Lord's primary purpose, He wants to mold our hearts. Everyone say heart. No, heart. There you go. So He wants to mold our hearts. And we have these kind of corny bumper stickers at what our ages go. Prayer changes things. You know what prayer changes primarily? Us. It changes us. Prayer changes us. So, and sometimes we start stomping our feet. Why didn't you answer that prayer, God? Why didn't you, you know, you know what? Being God pretty much means one thing. He can do what He wants. He doesn't have to do what we tell Him to do. A lot of times we think prayer, oh God, it's got to, I prayed, I used the right words and I said in Jesus' name. You know, it's like, no, God can do what He wants to do. And sometimes, it's like being a parent. Kids ask me something, oh, can I ride my skateboard down the middle of the highway? No. They call me Dr. No at home. Can I have this? No. Have me this? No. I'm really good at that. No. And sometimes it's for we need to hear that from the Lord. He doesn't have to do what we tell Him to do. And one thing the Lord says to me, talking about molding hearts, is pray for your enemies. Oh. A few times the Lord said, I want you to pray for that person. Said, oh, Father, ask somebody else. I don't want to pray for that person. I don't want to pray for that guy. You know, that guy offended me. He said, no, I want you to pray for him. It's like, you know what that means? You start praying for someone, you start having a heart for them. And your heart starts to soften towards that person. So, but I don't want my heart to soften towards that person because he was mean to me. Or whatever. And God said, no, that's why I want you to pray for him. Pray for your enemies. That's radical. That's from Jesus. That is radical thinking. Pray for your enemies. be careful, something will happen. Your hearts will start to soften. You know, even if you don't see a change immediately in the situation, you know what's changing? We are. It happens to us. A lot of times we just changed little bit by little bit more into the image of Jesus. I love that scripture in 2 Corinthians, which says, you know, becoming the very fragrance of Christ. I want to walk into a working place or KTA or something like the very fragrance of Christ. Because my heart's been softened. My heart's been softened. Primarily it comes through prayer is one of the reasons. If you want to know how to pray, you look at a child and the way they talk to their daddy. Their daddy who loves them. It's like talking to your dad. Remember, he's the perfect dad. And don't project the fails of your own earthly father onto the Father God. Not everyone had perfect fathers here on earth or have perfect fathers, but he is a perfect father. But look at a good, healthy son and daughter, of his son or parent and child relationship. The way they look at each other, the way they chat. My kids, when they're toddlers, just wouldn't stop talking. My 12, 13-year-old still won't stop talking, but I love it. He'll chat to me about anything. Chat, 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 chat. I love it. And I want to hear him, even though it's nonsense a lot of the times. I want to hear it. One day he wants to be a professional motocross rider. The next day he wants to be a survival expert. And says, I want to hear his dreams. I want to hear my child. I love him. I want to hear from him. We converse. That's what it's about. Anything and everything. Talk to God about anything and everything. Sometimes I remember when I was in college, had a hard time praying. I'd get a chair and sit it in the middle of the room. No one was watching. I'd sit down and I'd talk to the chair. I'd pretend that Jesus is in the chair. And that really helped my prayer life. There's something tangible. Okay, Jesus is there. He says he never leaves us. I'm just imagining he's sitting on the chair. And I just start to pray. Start to chat to him. God is delighted in us. He's delighted in his children. Each one of you here, he's delighted in you. He's delighted. You don't have to come reverently using King James English when you talk to God with these and thous. My kids don't come to me saying, oh, thou art my gracious father. Generous provider, we thank thee for thy great mercies. So undeserving of these treats, our good father. We are but dust. Reminds me of a story. There's a little four-year-old sitting on his dad's lap, and there was a preacher just like that praying, oh, omnipotent father, we love you in we worship you. We are nothing. We are but dust. And the little kid looks up to his dad and said, what's butt dust? So turn to your neighbor and say, we're butt dust. No. My kids come to me naturally, Dad, can I have some brownies? And if we do, it's like, yeah. And they go, yeah, you rock. I said, yeah, heck yeah, let's eat them. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. We want to move boldly into the throne room of the Father and come to him naturally as his kids and speak to him naturally as his kids without being inhibited by all this stuff. Some people pray these long prayers. Sometimes my kids talk to me 30 seconds. If I'm lucky, it's a couple of minutes. They're teenagers at the moment. So young teenagers, so it's lucky. I look forward to long conversations, but mostly it's short. The conversations I always answer are just normally two word ones. Dad, help! I come running. God's the same. He wants to help. See, hear that. God, help! And he's there. He's there. God wants to enjoy our enjoyment. He wants to see the delight in our lives and share that enjoyment of life. I like the thought of every time we pray, there's something happening in the heavenlies. Like there's angels getting ready. They're getting ready, and we pray, and God goes, go! And then they jump into action. They come down, and that something is unlocked in the heavenlies every time we pray. Poof! Angels come down, they just activate what, you know, what we've been praying for. And a lot of times, the Bible says, you don't have because you don't ask. So let's be asking our Father. Reminds me of a story. I might have said it here before, that one of my friends had just been saved. He's a big, burly truck driver. And he was driving his, 2 weeks after he was saved, he was driving his big rig down the road on the mainland, 70 miles an hour. And some lady pulls on the on-ramp and then plants her foot on the brake and right in front of him. And she drops her cell phone. She's looking, and he's now locked up sideways, and he's going to run over her. She's gone from 70 to like 30 miles an hour. He can't stop this big rig. And he sees these two little girls on the back seat looking up at him. They're unbuckled, and they're looking, they're like twins, and they're looking at him, knowing, like, oh my gosh. And so his eloquent prayer was, Jesus, help! He just prayed, Jesus, help! And as soon as he said that, he said he saw two flashes of lightning come down, and there were two angels. And he said these angels were like huge, but they were beautiful. But huge, and they went like this, and they got in between the car and the truck, and they stopped the collision. For some reason, he said, I don't know why, they should have been mincemeat, hamburger meat, the whole, the truck didn't touch it. And he said, even the children saw it. The kids were looking at the angels like this, like, oh my gosh. Then they stopped and they disappeared. Yeah. So, it was like heaven's waiting for us to release things into action when we pray. Yeah. It's funny that he went and told his pastor that, and he goes, describe the angels. He said, oh, okay. And he goes, no, couldn't happen. They don't look like that. Which is kind of embarrassing. But anyway. So a lot of us wonder, how do we pray? I was sitting in the plane a couple of months ago, and there was a couple, they were Catholics, because they were talking to Mary, and they just started rocking, and they just sang, I could hear them, I said, oh, they pray, that's cool, and they said, oh, Mother Mary, Mother of Grace, and, they're just going on, and he'd stop, and then she'd start, oh, Mother Mary, and say the same prayer, just repetitive prayer, and she'd stop, and then he'd start, oh, Mother Mary, say the same prayer, and they did it about 15 times each. And I'm going, oh, my word. And I've got nothing against Catholics. That's like, I felt like saying, hey, if Mother Mary's listening, man, you're really peeing her off right now. You guys are nagging her. that's just really annoying. So we don't have to talk to God like that. It is repetitive. He wants us to come as his kids, have conversations. Now, I love it when the disciples said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And he goes, awesome. Okay, I'll teach you how to pray. And obviously, it's the Lord's Prayer. And I think everyone here knows the Lord's Prayer. We've said it probably 50,000 times in our lifetimes. My little boy says it every single night. And I'm talking to him about, just listen to the words you're saying. Meditate on the words you're saying. Understand what you're saying, because it's so beautiful. It's so poetic. It's so powerful when you dissect it, when you meditate on actually what Jesus is saying for us, how to pray. So why don't we just recite it? Do we have it up, Malachi? Or he said, Father. Let's just say that the traditional. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses, sin, debt, whatever. Forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. I mean, do you know that last little bit, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory? It's beautiful, but it's not in the Bible. But we've kind of added it on. And I think, because it's just poetic and nice, and I'll keep on saying it, but it's not in the Bible. So in two places in the Bible, the Lord teaches us to pray this. In Matthew 6, verses 9, and then Luke 11, 2. Pretty much the same. In Matthew, it goes on and says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. It's actually not in the Luke edition. But so I want to just kind of dissect this. So let's go to the first slide. Our Father, who art in heaven. I love this. These are the very words, the very first words that Jesus says, pray this way, our Father. And I think Aramaic, it's Abba, which just means daddy. It's a close relationship, father-son, father-daughter relationship. It shows intimacy, affection, familiarity, love from a father. He could have picked another phrase. He could have picked another phrase. Oh, omnipotent one, oh, powerful, almighty God. But it says, our Father. And this rocked the Jewish, establishment at that time, because that's almost blasphemy, calling him, having such intimacy with the Creator God. Sometimes when I pray, I just think, an impersonal force up there. Benevolent, good, answers prayers if we say the right thing. Almost like a Santa Claus in the sky kind of deal. It's not, obviously. And sometimes if we don't say in the right order, we're such creatures of habit. We pray for a healing, we see a healing. Oh, okay, that worked. I'm going to use those exactly same words again. And so I've had some people say, oh, no, you can't pray for that person like that. You have to use these words. Rubbish. Jesus healed so many people in so many different ways. It was awesome. And what happens if we do the same thing all the time? That becomes religion. That becomes, or to an extent, that becomes superstition. We're actually relying on the right wording and phrasing rather than the majesty of Jesus, the healing power of the Lord God. So let's not fall into that. I want a picture of father and daughter up there. Okay, I took this morning. Oh, you probably, it's kind of this little girl. I just want to show you. Okay, God's a lot better looking than him. But to me, this is our Father. Our Father. The relationship. Little girl is trusting, happy. With her dad. This is how we pray. This is how we pray, guys. Our Father, who art in heaven. There's that bond. There's that intimacy. There's a relationship. That's a security. There's that trust. Our Father. We'll keep it up for a little bit. His desire wasn't for us to fall in love with this ethereal thing in the universe. Here, you can see emotion. You can see a bond of love. That love and bond didn't evolve. It's a gift from God. God is love. God is love. He is love. He's saying, don't treat me like a sort of an it, this entity up there. Call me your father. Call me your daddy. As a parent, isn't this what you cherish? Isn't this what you cherish as a parent? You love the fact, as a parent, that your kid cherishes you. You cherish the fact that that your child loves you. I miss the days when my boys used to give me hugs as toddlers. Now they kind of give me a hug. Okay. No, I miss putting my little boys on my shoulders and walking around. And that closeness, I'm showing them the world, I'm protecting them, but I've got that closeness of relationship. I really kind of miss that. It's like, why? Now they're too big to do that. But ever since Adam and Eve, we've been designed to love the Lord your God like this, with all your mind, all your strength, all your heart. Think of your prayer life lately. Does your prayer life look like this? Does Our Father to you look like this? He is the perfect Father. A lot of us have had imperfect fathers. So don't let that kind of taint our view of the Father God. He is the perfect Father. And in Psalm 27, it says, although my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will adopt me. Do you know the 63 scriptures, 63 in the Bible, talking about loving Father God? 63. Gee, I wonder what the Lord's telling us. I wonder what he's trying to get at. Okay, we go to the next slide. Hallowed be thy name, be your name. I love this. I love this pairing. He's saying, yes, he's the loving daddy God, but also he is powerful. He is majestic. He is terrifying in a good way. Demons tremble at him. Hallowed means sacred. Sacred is your name. And in the Jewish culture, your name meant everything. And that's why Jesus said, hallowed be your name. Your name was just as sacred as God's name was just as sacred as God himself. That's why they would never speak his name out, some of his names out loud, or even write them. They'd kind of miss some vowels because we were not holy enough. We were not worthy enough to even speak the majesty of his name. Majesty of his name is so sacred. I get convicted. Even do I revere him enough? Have that reverential fear of God who created the universe, who invented the cosmos. Do we revere him? I know like 100 years ago we used to, but now it's good. I mean, as Christians still, we concentrate on his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness. It's all true and it's all amazing. But we tend to forget about the reverence that is due him. His might, or even his judgment. Oh, don't talk about judgment. That's so 1800s. He hasn't changed. We've sin in the world today. Sin in the world today, it's because we even sin within God's people. Because we lack the reverential, the fear of the Lord. When you think about it, he lives in unapproachable light. The angels shield their faces and cry and scream, holy, holy, holy. Holy is he. In Revelation, amazing, John has an incredible vision. It says, from the throne comes flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunder from his very throne. Constantly. Can you just imagine? Just imagine. Let's read Revelation 4, 6. Also, in front of the throne was a look like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like that of a lion. These things are enormous. And as a biologist, I get goosebumps. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each one of the four creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Gives me goosebumps. And all the elders are throwing down their thrones. Throwing down their crowns, crying, holy, holy, involuntarily. And we're going to be doing that for millions of years. Think we got God all worked out, and all of a sudden, on our faces, holy, holy, sitting there on a throne of pure, white, hot holiness. Get the picture? And the beauty of what Jesus is saying is, he's our Father. He's loving. But he is so mighty and powerful and so scary, in a good way. And so this beautiful pairing, that's what makes relationship with God so cool, so interesting, so interesting. Next slide. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your reign, your will, your rule. And I get convicted. I think so many times I think, really, do I pray my will be done? Most of my prayers, 90% of my prayers, I tell you, oh Lord, will my will be done? Will you do this for me, Lord? I need this done. Could you do that? I need this, Lord. Me, 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 me. Yeah, it's a lot about what I want. What I want. My idea of what fair is. Trying to harness his power for our purpose. That's a lot of our prayers, if you're really honest about it. Trying to harness his power for our purpose, for our desires. My kingdom come. Yeah. Here's what I think you should do for me, Lord. Jesus is saying, Lord, whatever you think is right, and I will come under that. What you think is best, you are smarter than I am. Whatever you think is best, I will come under that. And successful prayer is learning to pray according to his will, and then it's going to happen. Well, what is your will, Lord? Well, this book here is full of, shows us what his will is. A lot of times, I believe his will is to heal, for people to get saved. Just pray for that. Well, I don't get healed every time. So we keep on swinging. It could be a timing thing. We keep on praying. We keep on believing. Lord, what's your will in this situation? What's your will in this situation? That's why I love intercessor. Intercessory prayer is really asking, Lord, what we should be praying about. Very, very effective. Very effective. Let's be spirit-led when we pray. Let's go to the Lord. Okay, Lord, what should I be praying about? What should I be praying about? Next one. Give us today our daily bread. Daily bread. Daily bread. It's not give us our monthly allotment. Give me my Costco cart full of stuff for a couple of months. Give me my daily bread. And you look at the Israelites who were in the wilderness. What were they eating? Manna. That was daily. How long did it last? A day. It started to rot. Interesting. God did not want us to be hoarding and hoarding, because he wants us, like lambs, to be feeding from his hand. It's not me that's providing. It's you, Lord God. You are our security. You are our security. A lot of times it's, oh, Lord, give me an abundance. Don't give me my daily bread, but give me an abundance. I'll use it for your kingdom. I'll use it to bless everyone else as well. But, you know, Lord, give me that new F-150. That looks hot. I love that. It's interesting that Jesus, yeah. I mean, what happens when we have an abundance? Our security is not in him anymore. It's not in him. He wants our security for all things to be in him. Proverbs 30:8-9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. So Jesus was pulling on the wisdom from Proverbs here. If I get too rich, I'm going to think it's all me. If I get too poor, it goes on. Oh, otherwise, may I have too much to disown you. Do you know what the psychologists and sociologists say the worst thing you can do for a family? The worst thing, the number one thing to destroy a family is to give it excessive wealth. If I have too much, I may disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become too poor and still, so dishonor the name of God. Give us what we need. He knows what we need. He knows what the Bible says. He knows what we need even before we ask him. He wants to be our security. You know, a story I'll never forget. Jane and I had the word of the Lord to buy some property to build a house. Okay, it was amazing. I'll tell you some other time about download from the Lord. Buy this property. And the crash happened, the stock market crash, and the banks reneged on some agreements with us, and we spent all our money from rent, and we could hardly pay the mortgage on the land we couldn't afford to build on yet. One day the banks come to us and said, look, you need $1,000. We need a payment of at least $1,000 by tomorrow, and we had nothing. So I remember Jane and I, the boys, we sat on our bed, we held hands, and we said, Father, we know that we haven't bought this out of presumption, this land. I know it's your will for us to have it, but we need $1,000. We don't have $1,000. Would you provide $1,000? And so we prayed this with the boys holding hands, and we said, amen. And Lord, we need it really by tomorrow to pay the bank tomorrow. So, amen. You know, kids went back watching TV and we did whatever. And then I forgot about it. An hour later, there's a knock on the door. And there's somebody, a friend, an acquaintance, you know, stopped by and said, oh, this is for you. And it was an envelope. And I thought, oh, and I said to him, not another bill. So please, I can't take another bill. I can't take another bill. He goes, no, it's not. And he drove off, opened up. It's a check for $1,000. Wow. Not for $900, not for $1,500. It was sort of $1,000. And I came running in, said, boys, look what I got. What did we pray for an hour ago? So $1,000. Look at this check. It's for $1,000. I'm excited. And they go, cool, yeah. I'm going, get more excited. Why aren't you more excited? I said, well, I know. We prayed for it. I knew it was going to happen. Okay. Childlike faith. Not childish faith, but childlike faith. It's like, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, next one. Forgive us. Let's read this out aloud. This is a doozy. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do you know what we just prayed? Seriously? Forgive us as we forgive others. Do we really want that? Do we want to be judged and be forgiven only to the extent that we forgive others? It's like, oh, Lord, they offended me. I've been up here before preaching. I remember saying, that's very wise. If we walk with humility and refuse to be offended, the enemy can't touch us. I've said that a few times. And it's all well and good refusing to be offended until someone offends you. And that's really hard. Oh, but they said this. That was mean. You know, it's like, forgive them. It's like, no, but it actually really hurt me. It's like, no. It's hard. In the same manner, and to the same extent that we have given forgiveness to others who offended us, it's the same that we'll be forgiven. It's almost like saying, if I haven't forgiven someone, then, Lord, don't forgive me either. If I haven't forgiven someone, then don't forgive me either. It's the same as saying that. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. We live with a Lord, with a forgiving Lord. We need to live with an attitude of forgiveness every single step in our day to forgive. And it's not always easy. We need the Holy Spirit to do that, to help us. The last one, lead us not into temptation. And in Matthew it says, but deliver us from the evil one. But Luke says, lead us not into temptation. We need to ask our Heavenly Father to help us to recognize every evil thing, every temptation that comes before us. So the way we do this is by we stay focused on the Father. We stay focused on the Father and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your discernment. I need you to discernment to show me what that temptation is, what that trial the enemy is kind of coaxing me along, trying to coach me to go down. And he does it. Unfortunately, they know us so well. He knows us so well. He knows what we're tempted. You go marlin fishing. I love going marlin fishing. You get a nice fat tuna and you put a hook, you know, you tie it to a hook and it looks appealing. Would you put a pumpkin on a hook and throw it for a marlin? No, it's not going to be appealing to it. It's something that's appealing. The enemy uses something that's very appealing to us, no matter what it is. And we need discernment to recognize that. to recognize that where that path is going to lead, where the path is going. That's what he's saying. Lead us not to temptation. Discernment. Show me, Lord. Show me who not to hang out with. Show me what emails not to respond to, what telephone calls not to respond to. No, sir, I'm a married man. I don't think it's cool for me to go on that boat with you alone. You know, when I'm working as a marine biologist, I wouldn't say that. It sounds weird, but like, no, just knowing, having wisdom. You know what? I'm not going to respond to that. I'll let Jane, my wife, respond to that. No, I'm not going to hang out with the boys, my rugby mates, going on that trip over to Hilo for the weekend. There's so many different things. Girls' night out. You know what? It's appealing. I'm tempted. But give me discernment, Lord. What's wisdom? What's wisdom say in this? What's wisdom saying? He's given us the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, he's given us the Holy Spirit not just to get goosebumps and have a feely-feely here and speak in a really cool prayer language. He's given it for wisdom. And the ability to conquer sin. And we'll end up now, but the last thing I want to say is the greatest revelation I've had in the last 6 months with the Lord is about grace. I just thought I knew what grace was. Oh, Lord, give me grace to be able to put up with that person. And pastor talk is with EGR, extra grace required. This guy or this gal, it's extra grace required to deal with them. You know, it's like, or that lady's very gracious. Very, what does that mean? Gracious. And we say grace before we eat meals. But really, I think we've watered down the real meaning for grace. And they interviewed like 1,000 people, evangelical Christians, and most people said grace was that. Oh, it's just patience. I said, no, really, it's empowerment. Empowerment. Empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Empowerment when we can't, conquer that habit, whether it's drinking or drugs or porn or whatever. We cannot do it on our own strength, so we need the Holy Spirit's empowerment, the Holy Spirit's strength. It's power. It's not this mamby-pamby patience thing. It's the power to overcome. It's the power to conquer. It's the power to conquer. In 2 Corinthians, it says, my grace is enough for you. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's powerful. It's powerful. So we need that. We need that grace. When the enemy starts tempting us with stuff, and he does, that's what his job is. Yeah. And we need to have a Holy Spirit discernment. No, I'm not going to go down that path. I know the end of that path. And I'm going to have the grace and the power to say no. And if I've already gone down that path too many times, I'm going to say no. Now I have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to say no, because that is conquered. Sin is conquered. Cool. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing word. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank that you're so loving. You showed us how to pray in your word, that you showed us the way, Lord. And that through all things, you strengthen us. All things are possible through Christ Jesus who strengthened us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us grace and the power to overcome these things. We thank you, Lord, that you are a loving Father and you delight in your children. You delight in us running to you, running on and jumping on your lap and trusting you. You are our security. We declare, Lord, that you are our security. We thank you for the love that you've shown us. Thank you for that love. And Lord, I just pray a blessing for everyone here. We thank you for that infilling the Holy Spirit now, empowerment of the Holy Spirit to go forward and face the things this next week, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I just pray a blessing on everyone here in the name of Jesus. Amen.